But Paul has been a good friend, an incredible asset, and just a great help for me in my journey. I feel like he knows how to be able to ask the questions and be able to bring out what God has put in you in a significant way. And so I feel like I've been blessed, and many of you have not heard him either before or for a long time. But I'm believing you're going to be blessed today. And so let's just pray for him. And so, Father, I thank you for Paul. I thank you for the way that you've made him. There are unique attributes of your character and nature that you've put on the inside of him. And nobody can represent you in the unique way that he can and that he does, just as each one of us. But we say we want to be able to see you and hear you in the way that you want to be seen and heard through Paul today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Morning. God trains us in all kinds of weird ways. And I love the scripture that says God's ways aren't our ways. He has his own plan and thoughts for us, and they're way beyond us. And I always think God always gives us a target, like there's something we're dreaming or hoping for that we go for. And as we start along, God always gets us to that point, but it's always immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine. So the target always is just moving in a good way, because we can't actually believe for how much God has for us and through us, but what we can believe for gets us going in the right way. There was a time when I thought I wanted to be a pastor when I first got saved. I got saved about 15, 16 at a camp, and I wanted to go to Bible school. And my dad at the time, my dad's Eastern European, and going to Bible school, he equated actually to basket weaving. And so by no means could I take a basket weaving course. He threw in some other words in there that we can't actually use in a church. And so I was not allowed to go to Bible school. And so I went and I got my marketing degree and started working in business. And as soon as I made enough money, and 2 years later, I decided I was going to go work on my go to Bible school. And so I went to Bible school in the first 6 months. It cost me like $5,000, and I had saved up so much, and I was on my own because there's no way my dad was going to pay for a beep in Bible school. And so I took that first $5,000 in the first term, and I paid for it, and it was like the fear overwhelmed me. I'm like, how am I going to pull off 3 years of this by myself when I got nobody supporting me? And I went through this whole turmoil, because as soon as you get bombarded in your thinking, your faith gets tested. And so I went to this church in Vancouver. This was in the 80s, one of the ones that Bob Birch went in and out of. And I came forward for prayer, and I said, you know what, I got to pray, because I feel like I got to find a way. So I'm actually going to go be a teacher, because if I'd be a teacher, my parents would have helped me with that. So I was going to quit and go. So I went forward for prayer, and it was just one of those really weird times. You know when like people hear all kinds of great things from God? So I went up, and they were going to pray for me, and they started praying for me. And the first words they pray is, don't let him be a Jonah. And then they went on and on with this kind of rebuke prayers. And at the end of it, I was like, okay, so that's not my path. I can't go be a teacher. But it's interesting, because then I went to Bible school, and then I got into being a pastor, and I thought, well, that was the call of God on my life, and that would be my life for the next 40 years, because that's what I trained for. And if you're going to invest all the money, why would God not use that training and keep me in that world? And then there came a time where God said, you need to step out and go back to business. And that messed me up. Because I'm like, well, you didn't let me go be a teacher, and then I was a pastor, but now you don't want me a pastor. And it's been this like journey where it's like, God, what are you doing? And the path doesn't go like this. The path actually goes over here, and then it goes over here. But when we're over here, we don't know what that is. But God's doing something and imparting. And this morning, as we go into 2017, I thought we would actually just kind of look at two concepts. And one is this actions. What do we do with our faith? And the other one is believing. So when we believe, it will determine what we do. So our faith is really important. So let's go back to like, I'm supposed to wait for the parents. What should I do? Should I just keep doing like do a dance or something? You know, let's go to Abraham, the father of the faith. Okay, so in Genesis 12, God calls him to leave his home and go out on a journey. He didn't know where he was going, but he was called to leave his home. Abraham had a choice at that point in time. Was he going to believe what God said and leave everything, or was he going to settle and stay with where he was? Because Whenever there's faith, there is a choice. Wherever God calls us to something, we actually can wrestle with that. And we do all the time. Do you really want me to be a teacher? Do you really want me in the ministry? Well, I don't even know what a business guy does now because I've been in pastoring for so long. And so we wrestle with the prophetic word, or we wrestle with what we are believing God says. And then we're called to a response, which is the action. Because what we believe will determine an action we're going to take. And if I believe God's going to hang me out to dry and this is too hard, or if I believe I can't do it, the response I will take is going to determine the outcome. So there's always this thing where people always say, God can do anything, and that's true. But God's calling us to partner with him. So if God can do anything, my response will often determine the outcome of what God wants to do. And so when we start along, God gives us revelation so far and says, well, I think this is what I'm believing for. This is what I would love for God to do. And we start walking that way. And along the way, God clarifies it and he redefines it. But when we get there, we actually realize, well, it was actually God wants to do that, but I didn't have the faith for that, or I didn't have the belief for that. So now I got to go over this way. So then I walk way over here, and then I get over here and I realize, actually, it's way on that top of that mountain. How do I get up there? But if we start here, we wouldn't even be able to have the grid to even the mountain. We would say, I'm not called to that mountain. That nobody climbs that mountain. That's not where God wants us. And then we would build a little holy camp down here and we would just huddle. And then we'd all like sing Kumbaya and say, isn't God great? But the reality is that's not what God wants. And that's not what he's believing for you or I. He's actually calling us to walk with him into places of action. So there's always this place where God initiates something by faith, and then he prepares us. So David, young David's on a hillside, and he plays his little harp. He had no idea what God was calling him to. It wasn't in his grid. And God's looking throughout the land for somebody who's after his own heart and finds David, and then he prophesies over him that he would be king. And then everything goes to pieces. So for David, he's a young kid, and all his brothers, he wasn't even there. All of a sudden, he's prophesied to be king. His brothers, I wonder what the conversations were there. What did David do? He probably just went back and picked up his harp, and he's sitting on the hillside. Well, can't even figure that out. And along the way, he's getting glimpses. He kills Goliath. He's like, well, maybe this is it. Man, look at this, man. I'm flying. I got the giant's head, the anointing on me. And then all of a sudden, he's being pursued by his enemies. And he's wrestling with his faith all the time. We have his prayers where he's like, God, why are you forsaking me? Why are you hanging me out to dry over here? Why are my enemies chasing me? But David was called to be king, and what do kings do? They secure land for people. They distribute equity and justice, of which David didn't have a full grid because he was growing into his stature. So along the way, David's nurturing into him this faith thing. And through the actions he's taking, it's building who he is. But we need to blend this faith and action. See, over here, the church can say, God does everything. There's nothing we can do. There's right. There's nothing I can do. God has to do everything. It is 100% true. God does everything. Everything that happens in life is determined by my response. And how I interpret what God is saying and what I do will determine the outcome in this. 100% true. But they're both 100% true. That's the tension. So if David quit along the way, he would have been taken out. God could restore him. It could have gone 20 years around the mountain. But the reality is, David had to push through. Abraham had to leave his home. So there is a response that God is always looking for us, in us and through us. If we don't take our response, the outcome doesn't come out. But the reality is, it's not us building something great. It is, but it isn't. Because it really is us believing something great. God takes us through the process to produce something great. Because it's God's journey that produces it in us. But we need to agree with him and allow the process to be fulfilled through us. So as we go into 2017, 2017 will have what for you? We get to pick that. It's not a prophetic word that I can distribute up here. I can give you like overall 2017 will be this, 2017 will be that. But the reality is for it to solidify into us personally, 2017 will have what for you? And that's a combination of what am I willing to believe God for? What do I believe I need to be doing and walking with God and holding on to him? And what actions am I willing to take? So Ben's going to Australia. 7 years ago, 8 years ago, that thing landed in your heart. Because 7 or 8 years ago, we have something of faith well up in Jason, who goes home and you debrief it with your wife. And then over the next 8 years, they make a plan as to say, how could we set our kids up so they could have an experience that no one else in this world could? So you've got a seed that gets deposited, that gets nurtured, that eventually is going to have action and growth. We all have that. So there are things that we're dreaming and hoping for that God put in us. That dream and hope that God has deposited needs to be nurtured. You can't just put it on a shelf. You actually have to look at it and say, what do I do with this? If this were true from God, what could I do to walk this thing out? What steps could I take? Who could I partner with? What conversations do I need to have? How do I keep bringing this thing into the light and seeking for wisdom and revelation as to how this thing walks out? And when we know, and this is what I do, this is the part that I have spent, I feel like it's one of the divine calls on my life, is to help people find the actions to take. Because if you can determine the action or the strategic plan or the agreement with God, you actually can start to progressively move towards the very thing that God wants to build. So the mountain is waiting for us. The beautiful thing that God wants to bring out of us is there. The thing that he is preparing us for, that he's created us for, that he's deposited in us, everything that we've been trained and raised in, our good and our bad being redeemed, has been put in us. But we need to figure out, how do we get that out of us? And where does that look? And what would that look like? So when I left the ministry, this was like in 2005 now, so it's quite a few years ago. It's amazing to me it's been that long ago. I have to figure out, what does that mean, God? And where do I do what? And for the first like 4 or 5 years, I'm completely lost because I'm wrestling with God saying, I don't know if I even believe what you believe. God's got lots of hope for us. There's dreams he's got for us that'll blow us away. But I just disqualify it. And then along the way, you actually have to let that solidify in you and you have to, through the process, say, well, maybe God could do that. So Joseph gets this really cool dream when he's 17 or 16 or 15 or whatever it is. And all these grains are going to bow down to him and stars are going to bow down to him. And he starts telling everybody all the great things God's going to do. But it's the process that God had to bring him through. And when it says in Psalm, when the word of God had tested him, he came forth. So there is a process that God has to take us through for the thing that's in us, that he prepares us to be that person that stands in the place. Now, along the way, what bombards us is fear. Because we look at that mountain and we say, I could never take that mountain. Or I'm not the person to walk up on there. And then we actually don't get the outcome that God wants or the outcome that needs to happen in our lives because we're not believing this and receiving this. Okay, so check in. How are we doing on the wrestle? You guys following me? Okay, well, it's always a wrestle. It's a wrestle between, did God really say that or can I really do that? And what do I really do here? So I was thinking this. I'm trying to think how to warm the crowd because, I mean, it's like it's really hard for me when I'm up here because you guys just sit in rows and I'm not used to like sitting in rows anymore because when you do business stuff, this just doesn't actually work. You want people to talk. It just works better. So let's break into groups of twos and threes, and we're going to have kind of, we call it like a little breakout, a little round out. And let's just do this. And here's the question I want you to ask in groups of twos and threes. What do you need to believe for this year? Okay, so this is going to be a conversation between two of you or three. It could be husband and wife. It doesn't matter. It's good if it is. It's great if it isn't. And if there's somebody here, you know, who's a single person or somebody older who does, just find a place to include everybody. And the question is, what do you need to believe for this year? This is the thing for yourself. So when you come out of here, I'd like you to have something that says, you know what, this is what I need to go for this year. This is what I believe God wants to do in me or through me. This is the thing that, this is my challenge, and here's what I need to believe for. So I got a father who's in the, there's a proper term for it. I'm just going to say the term I'm thinking, the psych ward. But there's a proper term for it, geriatric something. Anyways, so I've got a father who's sort of losing it with dementia. Okay, now, somebody here has total faith for healing, and they'll stand on it. And if you want to pray for my dad, he's 82, please, I need the prayers. Somebody here has faith for, I don't have faith for my dad to walk out of this ward healed. But I do have faith that God's going to be good through the process. And it's a miserable process. So it's not like the process is like, wow. But I have faith that God's going to be good in it. So that's what I'm holding on to in faith. So I've clarified my faith with that. So when I say, what do I need to believe for this year? Well, I just need to believe God's going to be good for my dad. But then I can throw in a business one, right? Because we're multitasking in many ways. And so what do I need to believe for this year? Well, I need to believe that I'm going to be successful with what I do in business. And I can break that down to the areas I want to believe for it. I can so there's that. And then I can believe for my marriage and I. What do I want to believe my marriage? So you get to pick what area you want to believe for. There'll be more than one, but we only have time today probably to chew on one. And so let's do that. Let's break in groups of twos and threes. The only question is, what do you need to believe for this year? Okay. How was that? Easy? Hard? Scary? Anyone else scary? Scary because you're talking to somebody you know, or just scary because you have to actually press out? Yeah, you have to state it. This actual conversation is something that actually maybe not all of us do normally, but this should be the normal conversation we have with our spouses and our friends all the time. Because this actually is the really stuff on the bottom. What you believe will determine what you do. But if we don't actually talk about it, we'll respond and then we'll say, why are you doing that? Or why did we do that? Or why didn't we do that? Because at the bottom line is there's something underlying that we actually don't voice sometimes. Or when you talk about it, you get to look at it and say, I'm going to have to do something with that. That's going to require a little bit of investment to step out. Who else had an observation as you did it? Yeah. Sometimes you need to rephrase a question. Explain.
So if you don't understand the phrasing of the question, if you can rephrase it maybe in a way that you would understand, that helps.
Yeah, I wrestled with what do you have faith for? Because there's what you have faith for. That requires you have to believe it. So there were multiple ways I could have put that. So.
Oh, you saw my hand. I think it's easy in some ways for me to set a goal that I know is achievable. So when you add the faith element, it's dreaming way bigger, way bigger. So that was just an observation.
Yeah. And there's multiple layers we can dream. So you're dreaming 8 years for your kids ahead of time. So we could be working on a dream that's 8 years away, and we can work on what is this year got to have me believing for. And they're all important.
I'm believing that I'm going to identify the misbeliefs and the unbelief that's on the inside of me that's going to prevent me from taking steps to realizing what I'm believing for.
So we were wrestling with that, as my good friend Ashley over here. So it's easy to do it in our head and say what we believe because we know in our head. But how do you get your heart to believe it? Because it's going to be tested. There's two different there, isn't there? One is my head can say, I know I need this. My heart's saying, oh, that's a... And yet, do we really believe if we haven't aligned our head and our heart? So when my dad first started going loopy, and I use the word loopy because it's the best way for me to describe it, like, it was traumatic in the sense, like, in my heart, I am thinking really bad thoughts. Thoughts I don't normally think. That's a little like, wow, is that really me thinking that? Like, there's no way anybody should think that. Especially if it's your dad, that's not right. Y'all want to know what I'm thinking? I was thinking of actually burying him. With a shovel. So in my head, I can know the answer of what's right. But my heart, because of some past wounding, and let's put it in the context with God, of some areas that maybe God hasn't answered some of the things we've been asking for. So then maybe we haven't seen the financial provision, or we haven't seen the reconciliation with somebody, or our kids are struggling. Whatever it is, our hearts are saying one thing, and our heads can say, God can take care of that. But our hearts are really saying, will God really come through with that? And let's just be really honest, that's in all of us. Which is why faith isn't easy. So when we say, you know, like there was this real name it and claim it movement. Remember that? You just declare the word. And I love that because it's so true. And I love the people that can do it. You know, I got cancer, but God's just going to heal me and I'm going to be healed. And I love that, that people can do that. I do. I really admire that. But to get there, wow. Wow. So I love this scripture. I'm going to read just one from Hebrews 11, of course, the faith ones. But it says, by faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who made the promise. So by Sarah believing, she received power to conceive. And yet, if you know the journey, how long did Sarah not have the belief? How long did she wrestle and say, well, maybe you should take my mistress, my maidservant. Maybe you should do this. I'm so old, I'm barren, I'm beyond. Would Abraham even love me? I can't. How many years did she wrestle with and beat herself up and say, will this ever happen? And then she gets to the point where she's broken and she says, you know what? I got nothing left. All I got is if God said it, then God's just going to have to do it, and there's nothing I can do to make this thing happen anymore. That's real pure faith. That's the really cool part. When you get to the point and you're like, I can't do this. Only God could do this. And those are actually the really sweet stuff, because then God could do something really great. And so there's a point even in what we're wrestling. And this is the part where God calls us to believe something that's so beyond us. When he calls us and it's so beyond us, that's the cool part, because only God can do it. There has to be that point where it's like, well, I couldn't do this anyways. But if I can't do it and God's saying it, then I just got to keep walking. And that's where the really cool miracles are released. So then you got this in Hebrews 11, right? And it's just later on, I think it's in verse 33. Talks about David and Samson, and who faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of the flame. They escaped the edge of the sword. They were made strong out of weakness. They became mighty in war. They put foreign armies to flight. And it goes on and on and on. Because they got to the point where it's like, only God could do this. So there is this tension here. How do you get there where only God can do it? Because when you get there, then it's sweet. But to get there, wow. Wow. See, in our body this year, we're all going to wrestle with this. Because we all want things to be working well in our life. We want to be making a difference. We want to find a way to make things flow. Put your area in the need in there. It's finance, it's relationship. It's put it what in it is. But as we're going along, this will need to continue to be purified in us. The dross needs to come out. And the dross can't come out without agreement in conversations. You can't actually have a plan for your kids if you're not in agreement. You can't have an effective business plan if you haven't talked it through and got to the solidifying point of saying, It just seems like this is what we have to do now. And we'll have to take this risk. And there's wisdom with that. And there's plans in order and all the rest. But until you get to the point where there's an agreement to say, I think this is what we got to do. And the faith part on the other side, it comes down to, I've heard this from God. I think this is the steps I've got to start to take. Do I have the money? Do I have this? All those will be there. But the bottom line is the agreement comes first to say, I think we need to start to do this. And when we get that, then it can be progressive movement. So here's the next breakout, quick one. What steps can you, will you take that will move you towards what you're believing for? Okay, just back with the same people. What steps can you, will you take that will get you moving towards what you are believing for? All right, which question was harder? Was this question harder? What do you need to believe for? Or was this question harder? First one was harder. Yeah, first one harder still. Anyone found this one harder? A couple people? This is where you can partner with people and good friends. Because this one you actually don't need to answer alone. Isn't that the cool thing? This one you got to do a lot of wrestle. I mean, this is good to wrestle it with people. Like I actually talked to people with when I was thinking about getting the shovel for my dad. That was a lot of conversation with a few good friends. Because I know in my heart I've gone pretty bitter and hard in some ways. And if I don't talk that through, then I'll get bitter at God. So that's pretty easy to catch this one. But this one over here now, I can actually get people to help me make steps. So if I've got some great friends, we can. This is just test and trial. This is have some fun. And if it's a big decision that requires a lot, then the multitude of wisdom helps make it easier. So when we did this today, like I'm starting 2017 and I just like, I usually expository preach, you know, when I get up and I like walk through a really nice passage. I just thought, you know, I just can't do that. But this is actually to try and give us a step to start with. We're not going to walk out of here with a big plan. But 2017 is going to require us to walk forward. And it will require, what are we willing to believe for? Or what do I need to believe for this year? Because some of us have some circumstances or challenges before us that will require us to talk through and wrestle through this to the point where we say, you know what, I think God wants to do this. Or, you know what, if we walk this way, all we can do is trust God to just take care of us and lead us. Whatever that is, of that measure of ground that you can secure, when you can secure that piece of ground and there's an agreement with somebody, then it's easier to walk forward. So when I talk, it's about securing a piece of ground, but I'm also saying, I don't know if we can all do it alone. So I don't know if we're meant to do this alone. By very nature, the ground that you need to take or where you need to walk will require having other people to help you get there. And if we don't build that, then we won't get it. We will sit there and we'll struggle in our same old stuff. And then we'll say, where was God and how come I'm still here? So the reality is God doesn't want you to stay where you are. He has something great and glorious for you. But he's looking for the response that we're willing to take to work with him. Okay, that's all I got time for today because actually that's 30 minutes and it went so fast. And we still have to do communion. So thank you.